Coming up next on Lutheran Radio UK,
The Lutheran Inquisitor, examining pressing issues and their ramifications for the Church today. The Evangelical Lutheran Church of Brazil is the topic of today's show with your host, Pastor John Ehlers.
Hello and welcome to The Lutheran Inquisitor. I'm your host, John Ehlers, pastor of Christ Lutheran Church in Orpington, also working with the Raynham Mission down in Kent in the Medway Towns, and Redeemer Lutheran Church in Harlow at Bush Fair. I'd like to invite you to come and worship with us at any of those congregations. But if you don't live in those areas, go to lutheran.co.uk, click on the directory, and find the Lutheran Church that's nearest to where you live. I'd also like to remind you that the new Lutheran Radio app is out and it's now available. So why not head over to Google Play App Store or Windows Store to download it for free today and take us with you wherever you go. Today we'd like to welcome back to Lutheran Radio an old friend of ours, Dr. Ricardo Reith. Dr. Reith is the Vice Regent of the Lutheran University in Brazil at Canoas. He's also a pastor in the Evangelical Lutheran Church of Brazil. And it's that church body that we want to talk to him about today. Dr. Reith, welcome back to Lutheran Radio UK.
Thank you very much to the invitation. I'm very happy to be here and to say something about our experience as Lutherans in Brazil.
And that's exactly what we'd like to discuss with you today. Could you give us a brief history of your church body?
Yeah, in Brazil, the presence of Lutherans started with the European immigration in the beginning of the 19th century. And the European immigration, was especially from people that were very poor here in Europe, Germans that were poor from different regions. They went especially to south of Brazil, the free states of the south Brazil, Rio Grande do Sul, Santa Catarina, and Paraná. And this immigration had different moments. It started at 1824. And in the first 50 years, the immigrants organized their communities without having pastors. The idea was to have a community to celebrate worship, but especially to have there also a school for the children. Those immigrants, they went to Brazil with the idea that a child must go at least 3 or 4 years to the school. That was not the reality in Brazil. The empire of Brazil, we had there are circumstances where 85% of the population, they were analphabets. There were no public structure of schools. So the immigrants, they had then a school, and together with the school, the congregation. And after 50 years in Europe, the missionary societies, they were aware of the situations of the immigrants and began to send missionaries and pastors to work. Very interesting, in the time of the isolated congregations, there were some pastors that came as immigrant, not supported by a missionary society. And the first pastor that came in the 1820 has your family name. He was Ehlers.
I wonder if we're related. I'll need to check that out.
And there was the pastor Johannes Ehlers.
My first cousin.
But it was very hard to him because there was no support. The congregations, they were trying to establish in Brazil all as farmers, as small farmers. And they had no money. They had nothing to pay a pastor, for example. And so he wrote a letter to the emperor, and he received some years, some payment from the emperor. In that time, Brazil was Roman Catholic, officially Roman Catholic, the priests were paid by the emperor. And so the same way with the Protestant or Lutheran congregations that were at the beginning.
The mission societies, I'm assuming from Germany, began to send pastors to Brazil?
At the end of the 19th century, the transition to the 20th century, in the United States, the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, they were then aware of the situation of some congregations and sent in year 1899 the first missionary to Brazil, South Brazil. And then it started then to work. Then they have sent another missionaries and pastors. And in some years there was a group of congregations that had this pastoral care of missionaries as and pastors. They came from the U.S. They used the German language. That was also the church language in the U.S. of Missouri Synod. And that was the situation until the Second World War in Brazil. German was the main language of the Lutheran Church.
After the Second World War, people began worshiping in Portuguese?
Began in Portuguese. The Brazilian government at the end of the Second World War was then against Germany, and then it was prohibited the use of the German language. It was a big problem, especially in the schools, because there were in the settlements of the Lutherans, there were no public schools with Portuguese to the people. And so the German schools were closed, and we have a generation of Lutherans that were then analphabet because of that situation. And then, after the Second World War, the Lutherans, they nationalized themselves.
So, in a strange way, this might have been a blessing to the German churches in Brazil, so that they could become more integrated into the Brazilian society?
Yeah, but language is only one part of a culture. You can change the language, but there are many habits and so on. So, if we look today, the Lutheran Church, it is still strongly a German church from the habits, the way. Brazil is a multicultural country. You have all the influences there. But the Lutherans, they have this difficulty to go forward and to trespass the frontier of the own culture and work with another of these groups. We have in many congregations now people that are not Germans or descendants from Germans. But if you compare with another, like, for example, Baptists, Methodists in Brazil, they were more successfully with another groups of the population.
You mentioned earlier that Brazil was officially Roman Catholic. So I'm assuming that Roman Catholicism is still the dominant church in Brazil. How does the IELB relate to the Roman Catholic Church? Are there any official discussions? Or how do local Lutheran congregations work together with local Roman Catholic congregations? Or how do your Lutheran lay people relate to Roman Catholic lay people as they live together in their communities today?
Until 1899, it was then the time as Brazil was then a republic with a separation of church and state. Until that time, it was very hard to the Protestants in Brazil. They were only tolerated. After that, and especially in the 20th century, it was another situation. But naturally, the Roman Catholic Church is still very strong, has much more influence over the government and can have much more political pressure over the government. We have now a new force, a new religious force in Brazil, that are the Pentecostals. Pentecostals are very, very strong. They are very related also in politics. They vote their own candidates, and they are more articulated, so, in political field. That's a difference. And they are much more. They are much more. We have now Pentecostal church like, for example, God's Assembly with almost 20 million. They have media, radio, and television, and they are very articulated also in that point.
Which brings me to a question I wanted to ask you. How does the IELB work with media?
Yeah, the IELB had some experiences in the 70s and the 80s. My church worked strongly together with Lutheran Hour in Brazil since the beginning of the 20th century. The radio, it was very strong. Through the work with Lutheran Hour in Brazil, or Lutheran Ministries now, we have now Lutheran congregations in some regions where originally the Lutherans didn't, North, East Brazil, for example. And there were some experiences with television, but not like the Pentecostals are doing now. In the Lutheran University, where I work, we have a television, we have a station, and we, through this station, we support also some of the efforts of the Lutheran Church.
How large is the Evangelical Lutheran Church in Brazil? How many pastors and congregations does it have?
My church has 100,000 members. The number of pastors, I don't have this information, but I think that working in congregation, we have today 500-600 pastors. And my church has also a theological faculty, and it's called Seminário Concórdia in São Leopoldo. It's a city in the south of Brazil. And the theological education happens also through an agreement with the Lutheran University in Brazil.
Well, that's where you work. So can you tell us how the IELB is using education to spread the gospel in Brazil?
There is an agreement, and every students of Concordia Seminary that comes to prepare himself to the ministry, he goes 4 years first to the university. He has there an BA in theology, 4 years BA. And then he has 2 complementary years in Concordia Seminary, especially then to work as a pastor in the Lutheran Church. It's a big thing to the Lutheran Church, because every church today has a lot of difficulties to support financially the theological education. But it's also a big thing to the Lutheran University of Brazil, because as a university, one very important point is the question of the confessional identity. We think that a Lutheran university should play a very important role in a country like Brazil. Lutherans had something to say and to do in education. I've said that Lutherans in my church are 100,000. The Lutheran University has 60,000 students. So you can see that it's a big university that can also support your work. We have in the university 60 chaplains that are pastors from the Lutheran Church. And so not only supporting the theological education, but also supporting the work of the church in different parts. Because the Lutheran University of Brazil, the ULBRA, is a university present in different regions of the country, from the north in Amazonas to the south of Brazil, with residents, undergraduate programs, residence graduate programs, but also with a very strong e-learning system. Lutheran University has today 81 e-learning centers that are centers that give support to the students, and that those centers are in every state of Brazil. And only in our e-learning system we have today 15,000 students. Students that are in regions from Brazil where you don't have a university, where you don't have the possibility to study in a residential program. I can bring an example. We have in north of Brazil, in the state Pará, one of those e-learning centers. You must go with a boat 6 hours from one important city called Santarém. You take a boat 6 hours to Monte Alegre. That's the city. In Monte Alegre, we have 500 students in 20 different undergraduate programs that are being offered by e-learning program, including theology students, and that are not Lutheran. We have a lot of theology students that are Pentecostals from other churches, and also Catholics that use this possibility to study theology. Our curriculum is very strong, a biblical curriculum. So to many churches in Brazil, many Christian churches, it's a good curriculum to someone to have his theological education. But also, it's a curriculum with a core in the Lutheran theology.
So if they go there, they will be taught and they will hear Lutheran theology.
Yeah, we understand Lutheran theology as a biblical theology. So that's the point. Yeah. It's very interesting how much the students from another churches, they like, for example, to study our confessions, the theology of Martin Luther, the Augsburg Confession. They enjoy it very much, especially to the Pentecostals. The Pentecostals, now they are in the transition from an oral culture to a written culture, an academic culture also, because the congregations, the Pentecostal congregations, especially in the cities, they are growing. They are growing also intellectually. You have members in those congregations that are lawyers, and they don't like to hear a preacher that is an alphabet. They want to hear the gospel, the preaching of the gospel, in a pattern. And so there is a lot of pastors from Pentecostal churches that are searching this possibility.
I also understand that mission is a really large priority for your church. I know that mission work is being done in Portugal, Angola, and Mozambique. I know that President Koperec is very excited about this work. So can you please tell us what is happening regarding the foreign mission work supported by the IELB?
We think that we have a commitment in relation to those countries. Portugal, as a historical, a strong Roman Catholic country, we have a commitment there the mission in Portugal from my church has more than 40 years. And also the Portuguese-speaking countries, Africa's, Mozambique, Angola. We are there with missionaries. We are there preparing people from Angola and Mozambique to be the pastors and missionaries. And that's a commitment. Our church, Lutheran Church in Brazil, has the resources. We have the conditions and have to support the countries.
I was also going to say that the church in Brazil is a growing church, and that is wonderful. Can you tell us about some of the mission work that's being done among the congregations in the IELB?
Brazil, in the last 40 years, had a dramatic social transformation. Brazil, 50 years ago, 70% of the Brazilian population was in the field, and 30% in the cities. Today we have 90% of the population in the cities, big cities. So, and the Lutheran Church was a rural church. So now, what we have to do, we have to learn how is the urban mission, how you bring the gospel to people in the cities in that condition, that situation. You have to prepare the human resources. You have to find ways to have a theological education to prepare those missionaries and pastors. And I think that's the big challenge, to understand how people are living in the cities, what are the needs. And the Brazilian, in general, like in other parts of the world, is going more and more individualist in the cities. The sense of community is being broken. How can you bring the gospel to people that are living this way? It's a big question. For many people also, this new situation to live in a city bring problems like with violence, poverty, and how can the Lutheran Church be church also to people in that situation? That's a big question.
You've got lots of challenges, but it sounds like lots of opportunities.
Lutheran Church in Brazil has a big opportunity also with its university. To have a university like this, for example, with the university, we can prepare in 5 years 300, 400 members to work, especially in this new situation of the cities. Not only as theologians, as social workers, as teachers, and in the fields where we have our e-learning programs, you have the advantage that you can prepare people during his work in the field. They don't have to go away for a while or 5-6 years and then come back. They can have his education, his theological education, and can follow or maintain the work in the parish and the mission field. That's very interesting also.
You tell me that in your spare time, you also lead the translation team working on translating Luther's works into Portuguese. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
The first volume was published in 1986. It's a 16-volume project, each volume 500, 600 pages. And we called it Obras Selecionadas de Martinho Lutero. We never had in the Portuguese language such a project of translation of Luther works. And we reached last year the 12 volumes. So there are more 4 volumes to work. Each volume takes us from 2 to 3 years to have the translation. We work only with original text from the Weimar edition, and so translation from Latin, from German of the 16th century, and we prepare good historical introductions and also footnotes. And there's a work, I think, to the next century also, because it takes a lot of time, but it's we can see now some positive consequences of that. You can see not only in theological education. Today, a student who is preparing himself to be a pastor, he has much more resources to learn about Luther and about Lutheran theology in comparison to 20, 30 years ago. But also another people in another fields, law, pedagogy, education, history. There are people from universities that they are doing research and have this possibility also to this approach of Luther's writings. So I think that in 6 to 10 years we are closing that, and it will be then completed, a collection that is it's going to be a reference.
Well, Dr. Reith, we wish you every blessing with that. And the IELB is very active in the international community, and it is highly respected and deeply loved among the members of the ILC. So can you give us some idea of how the Evangelical Lutheran Church of Brazil views its role within the International Lutheran Council and what it may be able to teach us who live in the Northern Hemisphere?
Yeah, I think the ILB is very integrated, because we can, this way we can learn a lot from our brothers and sisters from Lutheran churches in another social and cultural context. It's there are very precious moments to learn much more. How can you face the mission in that situation? What can you learn? And I think what we can bring as a church is exactly this. We are in a multicultural situation in Brazil. Different groups. Brazil is also a multi-religious country. And so what have we learned with the mission in that country? What theological reflection we developed to support also that mission? I think the Evangelical Lutheran Church in Brazil can bring that experience, that knowledge, that expertise, and exchange much with another Lutheran church in the world.
Dr. Reith, we pray God's richest blessings upon you and upon all of our brothers and sisters in the Evangelical Lutheran Church of Brazil. Please take our greetings to President Koperec and all of our brothers and sisters there.
Okay, thank you very much for this opportunity, and I wish also God blessings to your work, so important work, bringing this information and bringing this way also the gospel to so many people.
Thank you for listening to the Lutheran Inquisitor with Pastor John Ehlers. If you have any questions or comments about the issues raised in this program, send an email to info@lutheranradio.co.uk. The podcast of this show is available from our website. Check our program online and stay tuned.